Ida Cluso y Roots Rock Riot. Unfortunately, I don't know the Welsh for the Grassroots Rugby podcast with me, Ian Harries, but it's nice to see my Duolingo streak hasn't gone to waste. Stradey Park. There are a few places with as much Welsh rugby history. It's where in 1972 the Scarlets beat New Zealand, which later led to Max Boyce singing about the Scarlets beating New Zealand, and recently thought about the revelation that my dad might have turned down tickets to the game because, and I quote, he was more into cricket back then. It's seen the likes of Carwin James, Barry John, most of the Quinnells, Phil Bennett, Stephen Jones, Yian Evans, Ray Gravel, JJ Williams, Gareth Jenkins, and a myriad of other rugby giants and scrum halves play. It's where Wales first lifted the Triple Crown in 1893. Then, with the opening of Parky Scarlets, which had some benefits, it was a lot closer to my grandparents' house for one, Stradey Park was suddenly no more. I still remember a surprisingly drunken walk from town with my dad and his old school friend, a trip that featured a random horse in a graveyard, but that's another story, where we went to see what was left of the stadium, which was midway through being torn down. In hindsight, that was a far too depressing end to what was actually quite a nice evening. When I started this podcast, I wanted a team from the town where I fell in love with rugby. So I was ecstatic to find out that rugby was still being played at Stradey Park, because it is where Wanderers all hope. We were joined by Kyle Richards and eventually Nick Gale, who was running late, just after a semi-final win that was going to take them to the stadium I still insist on calling the Millennium Stadium. So this week we are joined by Kyle Richards, who is the team manager of the Cletley Wanderers. How are you doing, sir?
Good, thank you. Yourself?
Yeah, all good. I usually try to avoid dating these episodes, because like we were talking before we recorded, I'm not 100% sure when this is coming out.
Yep.
But I have to talk about this weekend with you. So you guys had what, at the time of recording, biggest game for the club?
Yeah, and we watched a lot of social media since. We had a chap called Dan Vaughan who kindly stepped in for the day to capture a lot of it on our social media platforms.
Yeah.
And just from watching that back, listening to some of the older generations from the club speaking, I think it's by far the biggest day we've had at the club for its whole existence, really, to reach a semi-final of a Welsh Cup and then go on to win it, I think has you know, pipped anything that has been done in the past.
Yeah, and then obviously, depending when this comes out, you then would have had the biggest game of the club.
Sunday the 7th of April, we'll be at the Millennium against Glenheath, who beat Mountain Ash in the other semi-final. So yeah, looking forward to that. It should be an even bigger day out for the club. And obviously, you know, the biggest day in the club's history then.
I mean, it's impressive. I mean, we'll come on to where you guys play now anyway, which is still impressive. But yeah, being able to roll out at the stadium we will always be calling, even though it's like Road to the Principality, it's the Millennium Stadium.
Yeah, so I say my generation and, you know, many of us in Wales know it as the Millennium and always will. But obviously now it's Principality, you know, it's our national stadium. So, you know, it's every Welsh child's dream, I say child, boys and girls, dream to play at the Millennium, like, you know, our heroes doing the international stage. And for people my age and Nick as well, hopefully if he's able to join us shortly, you know, it's not something that was really possible when we were growing up. So, you know, it's even more of an incentive really now to have reached it and then to get out there and you know, race the field.
I mean, congratulations. I mean, first of all, yeah, I mean, that is incredible. We could talk through the season, what's led to that in a moment, but we could bring it right back to who you guys are. So obviously you're the, most importantly, the first Welsh team to be on this podcast, which, you know, you've got playing the Millennium Stadium, and now you've got that as well. So I'm not sure which is the more impressive, apart from the fact it's definitely playing at the Millennium Stadium. But when I was reading up about you guys, the thing that stood out is Stradey Park.
Yeah. Yeah.
Which, it's, I mean, one, speaking as a Scarlets fan, it's nice to know there's still rugby there.
Yeah.
And two, like, I can't think of many rugby locations that have the sheer weight of history as playing there.
Yeah, so it's great to still be able to call it home. We're literally a stone's throw from the old Stradey Park ground, which is now a housing estate. We won't get into that because obviously, you know, we've got a great facility down the road now at Park Scarlets, which is second to none. But we do miss, you know, the old historic Stradey Park, a proper old school rugby ground. So yeah, we were lucky really. We've been able to sort of continue with that. We are literally, you know, let's say stone's throw, you know, we haven't changed our name since. It's always been Stradey Park, and obviously now we're the only team that can call Stradey Park home now.
It's a lot of history, I think, to kind of be caught up with. And it's really, really cool. So in terms of the club then, like I said, so you guys are the first grassroots Welsh team that we've had on the podcast. So what does grassroots rugby look like in Wales? Because I think you guys are in, it's like the West League?
Division 1 West, yeah. So, yeah. You know, going right down to the very bottom, in some areas you'll have Division 5 and then upwards to Division 1, on to then the Championship. And then the Premiership, and then it's the, obviously, professional leagues. So down west, it's split into areas. So we've got North Wales, West, West Central, East, Central, East. So each region or area tends to have three leagues at least, with some having either two Division 3 leagues, depending on like demographic or geography. For example, in West Wales, the lower you go, the further it means to travel. So they've split the leagues around where the clubs are situated, whereas other places may be a little bit more dense with rugby clubs. So instead of having like two Division 3s, they'll have Division 4, Division 5. So, you know, it wasn't so long ago we were, you know, down at the bottom. And slowly over the years, we've managed to make our way to where we are now, Division 1, and we currently sit top of the league, which is great, and we've been going really well in the league. We're around about the halfway point now. We've been scuppered by bad weather, as is always the case in Wales, and the cup run took precedence as well, so we had to reschedule some of those games. I'm not complaining about that. We've got now, I think, 9 games left to play. The season should have been finishing towards late March, but we're now into May already. So I don't complain because I'm a back. So, you know, we get to play a little bit more in the better weather. But the season has gone on a little bit longer than expected. But, you know, in Wales, you always give it, you know, a couple of weeks or months at least with the weather being as unpredictable as it is. You know, it's never going to finish on time. It wasn't too long ago we were down the bottom. Myself and Nick, we were promoted into, I think, Division 3 years ago, almost going back 10, 11 years now, in our first year senior players. And the club's gone from strength to strength since then, which has been great. And we've always had a great junior section who've, you know, come through over time and sort of just made that first team even stronger and stronger in order to reach where we are today.
Yeah, well, I guess it's difficult to grow up around there and not want to play rugby.
No, well, majority of us went to, you know, the same school or just any school in Slattery, really. You know, the primary sport of choice, or, you know, it is rugby. You do well to find somebody in Slattery who hasn't played a bit of rugby at some point in their life.
Yeah. So you mentioned, obviously, you're top of the divisions now, and it's been a process, shall we say, of kind of moving up those. What do you think it is about the club that has allowed you to do that? Is it the players? Was it a concerted, you know, did you guys sit down and go, right, we want to get to Division 1? What did that kind of look like?
I think it's just been a combination of, obviously, what's happened on the pitch, from the players' perspective, but also You know, it's massively down to the hard work and dedication and the commitment of those off the pitch who've, you know, been involved in the club for, you know, 30, 40 years, been through the good times and the bad, but have stuck with it and have always, you know, seen the potential and hope for, you know, our sort of time at the top sort of thing. And, you know, they're the ones who are behind it all and have made it happen. You know, we've always played good rugby. You know, we've always enjoyed throwing the ball about, but it's not always led to success on the pitch. But you know, this year it's just been a great combination of things going on off the pitch, as well as a great group of boys have come together. You know, and it's just, you know, through the coaches, Sean Gale, Steph, and Nick himself, who's a player coach. Adam gotten us fit as well. Adam Thomas, our fitness coach. You know, we've just worked really hard in pre-season, and we're still working hard now. You know, during the season, you know, there's never a day off type thing, and we're sort of reaping the rewards from it. So yeah, it's just and you know, those who were behind the scenes are still there, working really hard every day. You know, every day there's somebody down at the club, like most clubs. You know, keeping it ticking over, doing the jobs that, you know, nobody really sees or appreciates, just making it all work sort of thing.
I know those well.
Yeah, well, it was 2011 and we had a very good youth team coming through, really. And me and Kyle were a part of that. And the senior team got to Christmas and they had 8 or 9 training and they didn't have a team for the Saturday. So they looked at the 18-year-olds of the youth team. Me and Kyle were two of them. And we got through into that team and we ended up winning Division 4 that season. And from there, really, the youth team that we were involved in really all came through for the first team, which saw the team got promoted, back-to-back promotions up to Division 2. And then a restructuring then obviously allowed the club to go to Division 1 West. But we've always been pretty lowly, I think I'll agree with that. Despite one or two seasons, pretty lowly within that league, to clubs within the area that was, you know, far superior in terms of finance and facilities, really. But the club has really looked inwards and looked to strength, and they started right at the foundation of the club in terms of facilities, because we are renowned for having one of the best junior sections in the area, but the facilities didn't match that. So, you know, they put money, time into developing an on-site gym, and a clubhouse on site where we used to share, you know, clubhouses with different people. So now we are self-sufficient, you know, we have our own grounds. And this season now, you know, we're currently at the top of Division 1 and in the final of the Division 1 Cup final for the whole of Wales. So things are promising, you know, we're in on the positive trajectory, but hopefully it keeps going like that.
I love the low key, yeah, you know, things are quite positive. We're playing a final in Cardiff soon. But yeah, you know, it's fine. It's just positive. I saw the, I think it was a before and after shot of your the facilities in place.
Yeah,
it's incredible what you guys have there as a setup.
And it's all through the hard work of a committee, man. You know, they seek every grant possible to erect that clubhouse. And I remember, you know, years ago, Kyle, where the away team, the subs would have to change outside because there wasn't enough room in the building. So, you know, they've really made big strides, and it's a club that they can be proud of now, you know. So, again, making it self-sufficient, keeping everyone on site, and, you know, it's really positive. I heard on the weekend as well that, you know, we got players and Kyle's coaching at the Tots, you know, from 2 to 3 years old. And last weekend we had a charity match where we had players up to 50 years old. So the gap and the opportunity to play, really, and the inclusion within the club is fantastic.
Yeah, because is it just, if I'm right, it's just the one senior team you guys have?
Yeah,
and then a huge junior section.
Yes, there is a gap at the moment at the top end of the junior section, but we need the younger ones to come through. But it's difficult, really, because we're not really a village, a town. We're just wanderers by name, wanderers by nature. Just whoever fancies it, you know, is just getting involved with the club. So it's not, you know, a massive group, really. It's a very small, hardy band of people who really, you know, work their work to their best abilities to make this club as successful as it is.
Well, I guess it's the... I don't want to say downside. It is one of the things you get when you're from... I mean, it is the rugby heartland of rugby heartland, right? Like, it is... If you're thinking of areas with rugby, that is up there. You know, on anyone's list. But the downside of that is... There must be the sheer density of clubs around you guys must be insanity, right?
Well, there's six teams from Llanelli in our league, so it's a real battleground. We only have two bus journeys this season, which, you know, shows how far we have to travel, really.
Why? And given how given the area that West Wales can cover, that can't be too bad. Just having six of the team within short walking distance.
Yeah, it's been very refreshing. I think you know, we started, myself and Nick, we were going as far down west as you could get, and you know, you enjoyed it. You enjoyed the bus journeys, but there's nothing better in rugby than the local rival and a local derby, and to have, you know, a good three or four of those, you know, a season, or, well, you know, a double that, obviously, with the away games, has been great. And I think it captures the, like, excitement of the local, you know, town, the supporters, but also the players. And, you know, I think in a era at the moment where it's sometimes difficult to retain players and boys, you know, having so many local games has been great, because everybody wants to be playing against their mates on a Saturday. You know, win or lose, it's just a great feeling. So that's been refreshing this year. And we also had a season of that during COVID where it was quite local, which was great as well.
What was the, not to talk too much about COVID, but what was the COVID situation for you guys? Because we had, like, I know the RFU at least did Ready for Rugby, which was like tweaked touch rugby. And then a lot of promises that we would get to play that were never quite fulfilled. But I know they had tried to give us something to do. What was the equivalent for you guys?
I think during it, there wasn't much. Coming out the back end of it, it was modified rules. I think they tried to reduce the amount of scrums and mauls, etc. But to be honest with you, once the whistle was blown, it was rugby, as everybody knows, isn't it? You try and tell 30 men not to run into each other as hard they can and tackle each other. I think so. No, I haven't got much of a recollection of it. Nick was playing at a higher standard then, you know, and I don't know how it affected, you know, that league. Gailey, I don't know. I can't remember much about COVID rugby.
In Wales, only in the 1990s did they introduce meaningful leagues. And that was the first time since then where they got rid of the leagues, where they created a cup just for the sake of it, really, you know, just to get, just because it was a half season. And my recollection is that people lost their excitement for it, because there was nothing meaningful in terms of a league standing, something to strive for. So I remember a lot of teams just forfeiting games because the interest wasn't there, really. Because, like we say, you know, at the moment we're in the hotly contested league with a lot of local sides, where a stone throw of a part, you know, so that, you know, every Saturday looking, where are we in the standings, you know, that is really something that's, you know, we've grown up with, and, you know, we still do now. So in that COVID period, I think it was strange, but also people lost their competitive edge because they were so used to having that in Wales, you know, so I think that was something that stands out for me.
Yeah, it's always the, you know, rugby's a dangerous game. People are willing to put themselves on the line for stuff that matters. I think as soon as it becomes, they've just made this up, I think people become less and less likely to want to risk a knee or a shoulder on a Saturday.
And obviously, we played our semi-final on the weekend, and I've spoken to a lot of the boys, and the bodies are, you know, a lot worse this week because, you know, there was more at stake, like you say, you know, so you do go the extra mile if there's the car ride is bigger, obviously.
Always a good place to be, to have a competitive cup and a competitive league. Especially, I think, at the level you guys are at. So we before I ruined everything by talking about COVID, we were talking about rugby club density. And, we'll refer to it as a high level of local derby games. That's the diplomatic way to approach it, I think. What is it about you guys that brings players to you? There's obviously a lot of choice around there for playing rugby. What is it that makes the Wanderers a place people want to go play for, and obviously, clearly at a very high level?
I think, firstly, the facilities that we have at the moment are, you know, second to none. The boys can train on site in the gym. And as well, I think the part of the club that appeals to me, I don't know about Kyle, but that it doesn't belong to anything. It doesn't belong to a town. It doesn't belong to a village. Being the Wanderers gives us that sense of identity that's different to everyone else. You know, we have our own identity, which is pretty laissez-faire, really. You know, it's everything's quite chilled, you know, and the hierarchy don't take themselves too serious. So I think that's something very attractive as a club. You know, you don't have to be from anywhere to play, and you're more than welcome. We have, at the moment, a new Wanderer in the Scarlets forward coach, Albert Vandenberg, moved to Snelly, and obviously was looking friends, and he sourced our club, you know, because he's a Wanderer himself, you know, coming over from South Africa. So it's a welcoming club in that sense. And,
we had this boy who played, didn't we? Philip, yeah. Played as well for a bit. He's gone back over to South Africa now. But yeah, we welcomed him with open arms, and you know, I'm sure he'll be back one day. But Albert is very much down here now with any opportunity. You know, he helps out on the pitch, and you know, he's happy to socialise as well, you know, off the pitch.
So what does kind of the social side of the Wanderers looks like?
Rugby-wise, you know, especially after Saturday now, it's just great celebrations. We're lucky to have very strong links through our one of our clubmen to a local pub called the Bridge in Llangennach, who support a lot of teams in the area. One of the teams being us. So we go there as much as we can as a team during the season for meals, do some great food there. We all get together on an off week or a bit of a down period in the season. We'll all eat together. We had a couple of drinks there. We stopped there on Saturday on the way back. And then, yeah, the club, as Nick said, you know, coming from where we've been in the past, sort of squatting in various different establishments in Llanelli. We've got our own club now, which looks like a proper rugby club. So it's great to get back and have a few beers after a game. But obviously, that's just one side of rugby, isn't it? And it's not all about the beers. But we try and do so much more. You know, say the junior section, we're always doing family days, events and things like that. You know, and it's just getting together and enjoying the sport in various different ways.
I personally enjoyed the mantra that we've taken this year of parties when we win, meetings when we lose. Luckily,
we've only had one meeting.
I was going to say, not there's one person who really likes a meeting who is really disappointed, and that's it. I like that. That's something to be embroidered on a kit. So you were kind of like fully. Did you always kind of play around there, but then without a clubhouse? So you were nomadic in that respect.
When we were very young, they had a clubhouse bang in the centre of Llanelli Town, which also served as a bit of a nightclub on a Saturday night. So the revenue was good at that time, but the debt was too much in the end, my understanding is, and they had to sell the building. And then we, for a long period, were in a cricket club, sharing with them, and another club's taking it upon themselves, you know, to develop their own facility. So I'm very proud of that. And it's a fantastic clubhouse as well.
It looks it. I've said it before and I'll say it again. It's an incredible clubhouse.
Well, there's talks of a balcony, but I think that's a few years away. But that would be,
you know, need the weather for that.
Yeah, the cherry on top. Like, but we're lucky. We've got two pitches. We've got a second pitch, again, you know, down in town near the leisure centre, which the juniors utilise a lot of. Obviously, with like the weather being bad in Wales, we try and keep the main pitch as fresh as we can. But they've also been able to improve the facilities down there. from what was, again, you know, quite a rundown sort of block of changing rooms is now, you know, much better for the juniors to train out of. So yeah, that's not too far away. So that's a great asset to have as well. And we share that as well then with a team called Llanelli Warriors, who are a mixed ability side, who we played here last Saturday. So some of the old boys had a chance to put their boots on. And we're trying to make that an annual thing now during the Six Nations. Another great day for the club. But again, just showing how inclusive rugby can be, which is great to see.
Yeah, so I mean, so we've talked about, obviously this season, we have talked about kind of where you guys have come from. What's it from here? I mean, apart from obviously, hopefully a win in Cardiff, but where do you want the Wanderers to get to? Kind of what do you see the future of the club as?
For me, I think it's to continue participation numbers at the bottom end of the club. Obviously, that's really important to make it self-sufficient and to make this whole journey really sustainable. Like I said earlier, we're looking to get to a 13s all the way through. It'd be great in a few years to have them into a youth team like me and Kyle had the experience of and getting them then into the first team. Hopefully that team will be in a higher league as we possibly can be in and be sufficient, sustainable and competitive really at that level. So that's the long-term plan of the club is to maintain its status there really. Short-term really is, you know, hopefully we can secure our league this year and hopefully get a win in Cardiff. So that's the short-term, but the long-term is very much within our sight as well with you know, we look with excitement, really, because it's all positive for the club.
How great is it to use the phrase, hopefully a win in Cardiff?
it's a luxury, and it's been, you know, they've already been saying, you know, the chairman and what have you been saying, you know, it's the biggest day in the club's history. So it's special for us all, really, to be part of that, because there'd be many great Wanderers teams, but to be, you know, said in the same bracket as some of the great players that we know about, you know, is fantastic. So hopefully it's a positive thing, Cardiff, but there's a lot of work to happen between now and then.
Is it so the competition you're in, is that the same one? Because if I remember from like pointless pub quiz trivia, I think Shane Williams's last game at the Millennium Stadium was for like his local club team in like an amateur competition. Is that the same kind of setup?
So that was the bottom competition. So his team were like a Division 3 team. So yeah, it was an experience.
So so apart from hoping for a win in Cardiff, you're in a better competition than Shane Williams was there. You know, it's not a wrong statement. It's
it's a good standard at the moment we're playing. You know, on that day there'll be three games in succession of each other. The first one is the Division One Cup. After that's the Championship Cup, and then the final game is the highest club level in Wales, which is the Premiership Cup. So we're the third highest cup you can win in Welsh rugby, really.
That's incredible. Yeah, I mean, where do you go from there, right? it's a good place to be. So we end every episode with the same two questions. So first question, and you can both answer, what would your message be to any players looking to join your club?
Just come on down, you know, don't be shy. You know, we welcome everybody with open arms. We've got a record of that. You know, we give everybody a go. You know, we look to develop everybody on and off the pitch. And say rugby is a great network, you know, you can utilise off the pitch as well. Yeah, and we've got the facilities here to do that. So, yeah, you know, if you're looking at Llanelli Wanderers and you're interested in joining, come on down, because, you know, we're a bunch of boys. And yeah, you won't regret it.
Yeah, I agree as well. You know, the club's motto, which says on the emblem, is friendship through wandering. So if, you know, if that's what you want, friendship, you know, and a good standard of rugby, you know, we're the club to do that. You know, we have the facilities and great people there as well to welcome you.
Friendship through wandering. I really like that. And final question. And I mean, I am excited about this one because as a Wales fan who has interviewed a lot of English clubs for this, they always pick English players. So which professional rugby player would you like to join your club? And you can interpret that in whatever way you want to. We've had people pick to coach, people pick to play, people picked because they would... I mean, predominantly Jason Leonard picked so that you could get drunk with him afterwards. But which player would you want to join the Wanderers?
It's a tough one, isn't it? Go on, Nick, you're a coach, you say first.
Personally, I think I would go with Sam Warburton, purely because the professionalism he always showed, you know, and you still see it now in punditry. I think he makes the difficult sound simple and he gets you on board with it. So I think he'd be an asset both on and off the pitch.
On-site gym now, so...
Well, yeah. Not. I don't think our weights are heavy enough for him, but...
Probably not. And Kyle, what about you?
Do you know what? There's so many you could name, but I'm going to go with a lad called Steph Hughes. He's currently playing professional rugby with the Dragons in East Wales, but he's a Wanderers boy. And, you know, if he fancies, you know, continuing to play when he's finished at pro level, you know, door'll always be open here for him to have a few games for the Wanderers. It'd be good to have Steph down here. Steph Hughes.
Good pick. So the only thing left to say is Kyle and Nick, thanks for joining me today.
Thank you very much, Ian. Pleasure.
Thank you for having us.
Okay, so we are joined again by Kyle and Nick, this time a couple of days after, I mean, spoilers, a win at the Millennium Stadium.
Yeah, still feeling it. still recovering, but sinking in now. Back at the club tonight, back to business, training session tonight, but the boys really enjoyed the last few days celebrating as of the club and the fans, I'm sure.
Yeah, I saw on your Instagram kind of the next game popped up and part of my brain was like, oh yeah, it must be bizarre to go from playing... I will call it the Principality occasionally. It must be weird going from playing there to back to the league, right? Like you said, like back to business as normal.
Yeah, we've got six games left. Because we were playing on Sunday, we didn't play Saturday. So we've fallen into second now in the league. So we're two games in hand, but a point behind. So we've got six games to win to win the league and do the double. So, you know, we can't rest on our laurels. You know, we've got to get straight back on it and, you know, do the business again Saturday.
I guess it's a lot of momentum for the team, like you said, right? This isn't buzz that is going to die down anytime soon. So what was it like? I know you guys piled into coaches, right, and drove down the M4. So what was the day like for you guys?
Oh, well, I started at the club. You know, we had five or six buses full of supporters ready to go, and the players then waiting eagerly. You know, so yeah, like you say, it was just a great occasion from the very start for the club, the fans and that, and a special moment for us players then travelling up the M4 into Cardiff, in through Gatlin's Gate, down into the stadium. And then just from there on in, you know, it's like every boy's dream, you know, in Wales to be in, you know, behind the scenes in the stadium, you know, into the change rooms. We were very lucky to have the home changer rooms. So that was special enough as it is. And yeah, we were greeted up there by the fans who congregated outside the gate and give us a really good welcome. You know, just like you'd normally see on an international day. Not quite as many, but, you know, just as special nevertheless. And they cheered us on then into the warm-up in the Cardiff Arms Park, which was great. And back into to the change rooms and out on the pitch for the game.
I mean, yeah, the home... Like, obviously, anything on that day is going to be special, right? Let alone the home changing rooms in the home stadium. It's... I mean, yeah, I can't begin to imagine what that must have been like.
Yeah, it was quite a luxury, actually. And there were quite a few funny things, you know, in terms of we used to have benches in the change room. We had a padded seat this week. And and one of the boys asked, you know, are the showers warm? And they said, oh my God, there's a temperature gauge on it. We can choose how warm we want it. So quite a luxury from the usual cold showers.
Ah, how the other half live.
Yeah.
I've yet to see rugby showers with a temperature gauge on. That's now, I think I would take that over the Principality at this point.
Yeah, I don't really see it again either.
Well, there's always next season, right? So tell me about the game. How was the game? I mentioned just before we started, I was following online as best I could, kind of keeping updated on Twitter, and there were a lot of tweets about your, I believe, man of the match, scrum half.
I was scrum half. Josh Weeds, yeah, he had a very good game. He's been injured for a while, but came back and he really turned it on Saturday. So he was having all the plaudits from the commentators, and Yeah, well deserved, to be honest, because he made a real difference for us on Saturday.
I mean, hell of a game to come back for.
Yeah, easy one to get up for, I suppose.
Oh, I mean, yeah, there's very little I wouldn't push through if that was the game we were going for, right? So what was the score? What was the game? What was it like?
We were, there were three games on Sunday, and from what I've read, you know, it's been said that it was the best game of the weekend, but it started really fast. We got a turnover and we scored a converted try within 3 minutes. So we took the lead, and then it became a battle of kicking then, really, because it was just back and forth between the two kickers, and then it came to 19-all. Glenith scored in the 72nd minute to make it 19-all. So we went down to the wire, and then we had a penalty in the 76th minute to win the game.
Oh, wow.
And your man Nick Gaillier started it, and he's probably not willing to say that himself, but they don't call him Nick the Kick for nothing. Nerves are sealed.
I was going to say, I'm sure it was Nick. That was a very understated way of phrasing that. And I could respect that, but yeah, I there was a great clip, I'm not sure if it was from you guys, of, you know, the moment when you win it, right? The kick into touch at the end. And it is, I think it sums up the vibes of the day quite well.
Yeah, well, it's the first time the club has ever been to a final to start. And, you know, majority of us have grown up together. You know, we've gone to school together, played youth rugby together. So it was a real special moment when that ball went off the pitch. From relief for one part, but also to, you know, understand what we've achieved on Sunday.
Yeah, and then straight back into it in a couple of days.
Yeah, it's been a tough old season, and you know, there's been a lot of the cup hasn't helped in that sense, but we're not complaining. So I think we've had three or four games rearranged due to the cup, but you know, typical Welsh weather as well has put a delay on things. But you know what, it's not too bad, because we've still got something to look forward to. You know, you look at sport, and you look at football, you look at rugby, and teams tend to have a good cup run. They're not quite up there in the league, but it's great that we're still competing, and obviously we're at the top, and we've still got that to look forward to. So, you know, the boys are still buzzing, but it's back to business. We'll park that for a couple of weeks and just get the job done now in the league, and then, you know, we can celebrate, you know, properly in the summer. Now it'll be double celebrations, hopefully, you know, a great end of season do then for the club, etc.
Yeah, that is going to be one hell of an end of season do if everything lines up right. But I mean, from what you're saying, I mean, not just today, but when we spoke before, like, obviously there's a lot of people putting a lot of hard work into this, and it's really good to see it paying off the way that it deserves.
Yeah, and I think that was special on Sunday, you know, seeing their reactions and those people enjoy it. Obviously the boys on the pitch, you know, you enjoy playing and the occasion, but, you know, coming off the field then and into the clubhouse afterwards and seeing their faces of just absolute, like, you know, euphoria and just so chuffed, you know, with all the hard work that they've done over the years, you know, long before our time. Some of these people have been around the club for 30, 40 plus years. And like I say, we've never quite achieved anything like it. So, you know, there's a lot of tears, happy tears, obviously, but yeah, it just meant so much for them, and it was great to see.
It was great to follow along with as well. So I look forward to, well, like you said, hopefully seeing some photos from a very good end of season double celebration.
Yeah, maybe even a part three, you know, to cover that.
Oh, we could just keep adding extra parts as the wins come along. But I mean, is there any final comments on a weekend in Cardiff?
No, we hope we do it again.
Yeah, it's just something to look forward to again. I'll aspire to in the seasons ahead.
I mean, I think that is a perfect way to actually end the episode. So, Kyle and Nick, thanks for coming back. Thanks for flying the flag for Rugby and Strani. And again, congratulations.
Great. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Ian.